Welcome to another tale from George's Pocketbook. George is a frontline UK response officer dedicated to fighting crime, resolving family disputes in minutes that have taken years to break down, and getting in the faces of the social underclass. All events are real, and names and places have been changed to protect the innocent, not so innocent, and plain stupid.
It was 7 a.m. and parade had just finished. George was in the canteen. He was just sitting down for a quick coffee with his partner for the day, Bob, before they went out, and lamenting how boring early turns can be, especially midweek. The control room called on their radios and asked for a crew to answer an emergency call to a suspicious male in the street, apparently following a paperboy. The informant had described the male as being very tall and well-built, wearing a long dark coat with a big chunk of wood underneath it. George called back and said they'd go. As he got up, he told Bob he could relax on the ride out there because he knew exactly where they were going. The traffic was light and George made good time and only needed blue lights to get to the scene within a very few minutes. As they approached, Bob said, "Well, I'm blowed. There he is, exactly as he was described." "I don't like the look of him, George. Drop me here and drive past so you can come up behind him on foot, all contact and cover-like." George agreed and slowed to drop Bob off, thinking to himself, "You know, just like the book says, one from the front and the cover from the other side to keep the subject off guard." As he pulled up and climbed out of the car, he called the control room to tell them they were on scene. He could see Bob with one hand out in front of him toward the big guy and heard him call out, "Whoa, fella, stop right there for me. You match the description of someone I've been told about who has a big lump of wood under his coat. So I need you to drop anything you're holding and open your coat." George approached slowly and quietly and could see the big lump of concrete that dropped at the suspect's feet. The hairs on the back of his neck bristled. Bob suddenly shouted, "Drop the wood! Drop the wood or I'll spray you! This is CS! Drop it, now!" "Oh dear," said George, as he drew and extended his ASP baton with one hand, while grabbing the radio with the other and calling, 567, more units, on the hurry-up!" At the same time that Bob sprayed the suspect dead centre of the chest and just below the throat. "Good shot," thought George. "Looks like he emptied the canister on that one, and waited for the big man to drop." He didn't. George shouted at the top of his voice and ran at the man, who was now advancing on Bob, trying to wrap a big lump of wood around his head. George whacked the man's leg with all of his strength behind the asp, but rather than crash to the ground, the man swung the wood at George's head and connected across his forehead. George now realised that there were two men, and they were both attacking both Bobs. Worse still, he couldn't breathe. He'd got so close to the assailant that he was now suffering from CS contamination. At this point, everything turned into a free-for-all. George is not a small lad, and Bob's about the same size. But at one point, George realised that he was fighting alone, because while he'd been whacking seven bells out of every available inch of this guy, he'd managed to toss Bob over a garden fence. Then Bob was back, and all three of them were rolling around over the bonnet of a parked car. At some point, a valiant member of the public leapt into the fight to help both Bob and George, but by that time neither of them could see anything because of the CS. By the time the rest of their team arrived, they were completely blind and struggling to breathe, unlike their suspect. By all accounts, it only took their colleagues a couple of minutes to reach them, and the big guy was buried under a heap of uniforms, but it felt like an eternity to George, and he was sure he'd been fighting for his life. Apparently, a couple of the drivers managed to previously unheard-of speeds in their efforts to save them, and both Bob and George were eternally grateful. The two lads were dragged off to hospital and seen by Sister, who treated them for CS contamination. As the CS effects began to wear off, it was clear that George was still seeing double and was decidedly unsteady on his feet. During the next few days at home, recovering from concussion, George was able to reflect on the episode and realise that he was as guilty as everyone else is in taking things for granted. Early turn in the middle of the week can be just as hairy as any other time. And more importantly, it doesn't matter what weapons or equipment you carry, sometimes they just aren't going to be enough.